Hey everybody, welcome back to the Nidus Anarchy series. I'm your host Adam, the CIO and co-founder of Nidus, and today we're going to talk about security review in the week. What's been going on? Quick recap, we have ChatGPT being sued, Tesla factory machines are going on a rampage and just destroying people, Apple has a new zero-day hack that's been targeting some antivirus software, $65 million has been stolen in wallet drainers in the cryptocurrency world, Chinese hackers are exploiting a new zero-day in Barracuda's email security gateway. Mint Mobile had a huge data breach. Ubisoft, the game company, they had a data breach. We don't know what was going there. Android malware has taken over 327,000 devices. TikTok is starting to ask for your iPhone PIN for some weird reason. Google Chrome has a serious zero-day exploit that you need to patch immediately. Broadcom is looking to buy VMware for $69 billion. And lastly, we're going to talk about Wired's security risks of the year and what will happen there. So first, let's start off with the top one. ChatGPT being sued by the New York Times and other authors. So the article came out about New York Times is suing OpenAI, ChatGPT, for something like $768 million, some crazy super number. And I think earlier on in the year, like George R. Martin, the Game of Thrones guy, and some other, John Grisham, I think is one, some other big name authors, they're also going after OpenAI and such for copyright infringement. And what they're saying is that these companies, these AI companies, have used, like New York Times, their articles or their books in regards to the authors to train their models without being fairly compensated for it. So this is where it's going to be weird, right? Because in my gut, just as soon as I hear this, I'm just hearing, you know, this is the swan song of a dying industry. So what's happening is New York Times realizes they're useless. Their news is no longer reputable because they destroyed the reputation years ago. No one's going to the New York Times and buying the New York Times because you can get the information online quicker and from a reputable source. So they realize we're dead in the market. We need to do something. What are we going to do? Well, what's going to kill them more is OpenAI, right? Just AI in general. I use ChatGPT now almost more than I do Google when I'm looking for information. And then I will cite further sources and then I'll actually verify it. Because a lot of times, still remember, these AI systems, they will give you incorrect information. So always remember that you need to check this stuff. But it's something that's being used and they're hyper threatened by it, as they should be, because it's going to destroy them. I mean, they're thinking like these authors, like, hey, these things have learned from our books. And then now people can just generate entire new stories without me needing to be there. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. And it's absolutely going to happen. New York Times articles, it's like, oh, we're not going to need reporters anymore. Right, because these AI systems will be smart enough and they're going to be fast enough with real zero-day information to create generative news feeds for you. But what's going on? You're not going to need reporters and you know the factual. There'll be no bias in it, right? So there goes the New York Times. So I think these guys are just freaking out, just like the actors and everyone else, about, oh, they're going to use my likeness and my image. Yeah, it's going to happen. That's just the world. You know, what are you going to do? Just stop it from saying, hey, we're not going to use OpenAI anymore. We're not going to use generative AI. Never going to happen. So what we're seeing here is just everyone freaking out, just like the music industry when they freaked out over Napster. Although Napster, I mean, we all know that was absolutely created to pirate music. Like, these guys saying that OpenAI learned off their information and they're not being compensated. Well, did Google pay for them? Right? I mean, they're linking to those same pirated PDF files of the books, or they're still linking to the same news articles. They're scouring all that information, indexing it and everything. So are they going after them? No, because Google doesn't threaten them. It enhances them, makes people find them more. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously I'm not a lawyer. This is going to go to court and it'll be settled there. I see this happening as just a, you know, they're going to settle. They're going to settle for some undisclosed amount of money, basically just to make them be quiet. If OpenAI is smart, though, and I think they are, they need to take this all the way to the Supreme Court and justify and hopefully prove that they're not using their information illegally in any legal form, because this is just going to keep happening. If they don't fight this right now, and maybe they are doing something illegal, and if they are, then they absolutely should be brought to terms for it and should be held accountable in court. So I think this particular thing needs to go all the way to the Supreme Court and needs an actual, real federal, you know, kind of stamp of approval, or find out what they are doing and see if they're stealing their stuff. I'm also a little bit paranoid because I was watching that Netflix documentary, A Billion Dollar Code, about how Google stole the code from the Google Earth developers, the TerraView or whatever. That's a whole insane documentary. I highly, highly recommend watching that. Very nostalgic for old internet days and, you know, hacker days and stuff, but also really shows kind of the shady side of Google and what they've been doing. But so could OpenAI absolutely have a back door and just ripped all New York Times articles? Maybe. Maybe they have that proof and that's why they're suing them, in which case, yeah, go after it. But that's not what my gut says. My gut's just saying that these guys are just pissed that their industry is about to be wiped out. Next article is on the Tesla automotive factory down in Texas. Apparently, I think it was Texas. one of the machines went out of control by one of the software engineers that was working on it, and it apparently messed up his arm, back, hand, or something. All the articles are like, man gets mauled by machine in Tesla factory, and it's like, he got like a scratch on his hand and something. No matter what it was, he was back to work. He didn't take any time off of work because of his injury, so it couldn't have been too horrible. And honestly, it's like, I grew up outside Detroit where everyone worked in one of the automotive plants in one way or another. And we would hear about crazy shit that would happen to people in those factories. I mean, people losing like bits of their fingers or whole hands, or, you know, could be worse, complete death being smushed by machines. Absolutely happened kind of regularly, not like every day, but you weren't shocked when you heard like, oh, so-and-so had their hands smashed in a factory. Or, oh man, so-and-so's dad saw some kid get sucked into a thing and just completely turned to mist in front of his eye. It's like, whoa, that sucks. But you're not like, wow, I can't believe that happens, because it happens regularly. So I started looking at some of the Tesla stats, and it looked like it was something around Tesla's factories was getting like 1 out of 21 workers would get injured in one way or another, where traditional automotive, like I guess Ford, like the big four, was around 1 in 30. So it's still up there. I mean, it's still a dangerous place to be working. I mean, they're highly, you know, heavy machinery working around, this swinging crap around your face. People get hurt. But it looks like Tesla's actually doing a better job than what the other companies were. So any improvement, I think it's great. But again, I think it's just kind of clickbait article. I don't really think anything terribly bad happened to the guy. Something probably monumentally worse has happened to someone else. Apple's system on a chip was used in a new zero-day attack against Kaspersky's employee's iPhone. So the Russian antivirus software, Kaspersky, they were targeted in a new zero-day attack from Apple iPhones. The security on the chip is... The attack is so crazy. Actually, you know, I have the actual quote here. It's from Kaspersky and about this attack. And this is, let me read this to you. This is no ordinary vulnerability, and we have many unanswered questions. We do not know how the attackers learned to use this unknown hardware feature or what its original purpose was. Neither do we know if it was developed by Apple or it's a third-party component like ARM CoreSite. So this attack chain wasn't just one vulnerability that they used to break into these phones. It was a chain of a series of them. And I have a cool picture here, which we'll put up so you can see this. I'm just going to read this to you, so in case you're listening. So here's the attack chain. Attacker's iMessage account. They send a PDF file. There's a TrueType font exploit that gets run into ROPJOP, which goes into an NS expression BP list. I don't even know what these things are, but there's really cool pictures of bombs and stuff with each one of them. NS expressions again, which then loops to a kernel exploit via JavaScript. Then that goes off to Imagent, which is a cleaner, I guess wipes out its trace. Then into Safari, which pulls the validator to trigger a Safari exploit that then triggers another kernel binary exploit, which prompts the validator to then run the malware. So this is some crazy chaining of events. So this is massively sophisticated. And like I was saying, which was interesting, is they don't even know how they figure this out because it's so crazy. So I don't know. This is going to be an interesting development. But yeah, apparently they're targeting the Russian antivirus company. Big government? I don't know. Next up was a new crypto wallet drainer. It's been going on for about a year now. So they've stolen over $65 million in funds from wallets. The largest amount was just under $25 million from a single wallet of ETH stolen from people. That's just insane. And what's interesting about these guys and what they were doing is they were running Google and X ads to get people to go to these sites and then connect their wallet and then drain them. So on Google, they're talking about, you know, Web3 software that you got to come check it out. And on X/Twitter, what they're saying is these ads were, hey, come and get a free NFT of this new thing, this new Harry Potter NFT or whatever. And what's happening is people would go to these websites. They look legit for, you know, because they're not really paying attention. They connect their wallet and they approve a transaction of some kind. Now, the problem is, unless you understand smart contracts, which majority of people using crypto don't, those, when you approve a transaction, it could do anything. It literally could say you're approving to take all of my money, all of my crypto, all of my NFTs, all of my everything off my wallet, or you're just approving it just to be able to use the website. You never really know. So that's why it's important to use only trusted websites, and you don't just go on to things where, you know, get rich quick scheme type stuff, because that's definitely going to be a scam. But yeah, so that's a real shady world in the blockchain world, is like, how do you trust the developer that they're actually doing what they're doing? The only real way is to look at the code, look at the function, see what it's doing, and follow that chain. Most people obviously aren't going to do that. So I think there could be kind of a cool new area of security space opening up, which is, there's already, you know, a whole thing on smart contract auditors where they're validating the security of these contracts. Well, another thing that would be great would be a third-party audit on these contracts to validate their functions being safe and doing what they say they're doing. So therefore, what you could do is say, hey, look, connect to my smart contract and approve this transaction. And by the way, here's a link to the audit. And through cryptographic proof, which is very easy because it's all blockchain, you could easily say, oh, this is absolutely doing what these guys say, and this third-party auditor has proven that it's safe for me to do this. So I think something like that, and if we can automate that in a fashion of almost like in the browser or in the wallet software, that would be amazing. So I think we're going to start seeing something like that in the future, hopefully the near future. Chinese hackers exploit a new zero-day in Barracuda's email security gateway. So this appliance that goes and scans all the emails coming in and out of an enterprise, they found a really interesting zero-day. So what happens is the attackers will craft a specific Excel spreadsheet that's, you know, has the malicious code in there. So when it gets scanned by the Barracuda software, it reads that Excel file, and then that's what creates the exploit and then gets dumped into the box. So what's crazy is these attackers are able to get and own these Barracuda email security gateways. So now if they own that box, one, they're generally in an area where they can go laterally and get into other servers on the network from wherever they are there. But also, imagine being owning of the box that's scanning all of your email. You can now say, hey, remove the banner or make an email that comes from whatever to look like whatever. I mean, your imagination can run wild here. So Barracuda said that they pushed out a patch on the 21st of December. So everyone should be patched at this point. If you're not, I probably should. But this just goes to show, you know, even though if you're protecting your email as much as you can, if you get to the device that's protecting you, then all bets are off, right? So this is a pretty interesting attack. So Mint Mobile had a huge data breach. Over 2 million users had their information stolen. So it was like full name, number, email, password, the hash, not the full password, their address, their current IMEI number, which is kind of like the serial number for your phone that only you would know from your phone. So that's important to not have them have. Order numbers, the email and address for those orders, the credit card last four, the expiration, that CVV number, SKUs of what they bought. So that's really bad, because that's all the information you really need to verify that you are who you are to do whatever you want to do with their service. So this information has already been pushed out onto the darknet and being sold. There's actually a screenshot of the guy saying, hey, look, here's all the information I have and here's what I'm selling. And he's giving out samples of information for those interested. So it's absolutely out there. This is not coming in good timing either, because T-Mobile is looking to buy Mint for about $1.8 billion. We're not going to sure what that's going to do, but there's a neat little note about T-Mobile that we're going to cover at the end here. Ubisoft, the game manufacturers, they had a breach for about 48 hours. Some attacker got into their servers and was downloading about 900 gigs worth of data. I'm not really sure what it is. They said that Ubisoft noticed that it was going on and they killed the transaction. So I don't know if they're transferring a single 900 gig file. That'd be weird. So not really sure what they got there, but if you're a Ubisoft person, start being aware of any type of phishing campaigns probably happening soon. The Android malware breach. So there's a new malware called Xamialicious. It's developed on Xamarin, the open source framework, OS framework. And they got the malware has been spread over 327,000 of Android devices using a whole list of apps. So I got a screenshot of the apps that they found, so you can show those. But Google is saying that any app that has been identified to contain this malware has been automatically removed from people's phones and removed from the Play Store, so you should be okay. But you never know. What's interesting is Android is susceptible to malware. iOS is not yet. This is one of those key things from the ecosystem of Apple that I've always liked, even though it's like I hate being an Apple fanboy, and I've bashed Apple publicly, so you can't, I'm not like a huge fanboy, but you really don't have to worry about malware and viruses. We talked about that exploit in Go that was going to Mac, and it's like, whoa, that's crazy. But yeah, that's one. But like Android, it's like, this is why I use iPhone more than Apple, is just because it's less stuff I have to worry about. I don't want to install antivirus on my phone. It's just another PC I have to worry about. TikTok, the iPhone app, has been asking for your iPhone PIN to certain users. TikTok says this was a bug. They were testing some security features out and accidentally got rolled out to a few people. Who knows? I mean, this is when you put your conspiracy theory hat on. It's like, hey, TikTok, why are you asking for people's iPhone PINs? And you know, this is all that China back stuff. Are they doing some crazy nefarious things trying to break into your phone? Who knows? Was it a bug pushed out? I've never seen an app ever ask for my iPhone PIN. So I'm going to lean more towards the conspiracy tinfoil hat side on this one. So Google Chrome has mentioned that there's a new zero-day exploit that's out in the wild that's actively being attacked on people. So you want to make sure you absolutely update Chrome. I believe the exploit came out, like the patch came out on the 21st. I think it was found on like the 18th, so they patched it pretty quick. But a lot of people do not auto-update their Chrome browser. So if you are one of those people, I highly recommend that you update your Chrome now. And honestly, you really should leave that thing on just auto-update. I'm also one of those people that don't like to auto-update. Like, I want to know what I'm doing in case it messes up. I can roll back and all that stuff. But Google Chrome has had crazy amount of security vulnerabilities on it that they've been patching regularly throughout the year. Just this year alone, Chrome has had 23,447 vulnerabilities found and patched this year. And out of that, only about 115 of them were actively found in the wild to be running exploits against, which is great. But still, that's 115 in a year to where you are a target to where your computer could be owned just because you're using the browser. I personally don't really use Chrome. I use Brave, but it's still based on Chromium. And this particular attack was a heap-based buffer overflow on the WebRTC framework. So it's shared by a bunch of browsers, even Safari. So I'm not sure if it's actually tied to that particular framework or if it's that framework and how Google instituted it, which is allowed for the attack to take place. But right now, the word is Google Chrome's the only one to worry about. I highly suggest Brave. If you like Chrome, it's built on Chromium, which is the engine that Chrome is built on, but way more secure and privacy-oriented and Web3 friendly. So I highly recommend to check out Brave. They also have it for your phone. Broadcom is looking to complete a $69 billion acquisition of VMware. This is huge. Now, I know this isn't identity access side, but Broadcom bought CA, and that's when the whole CA Identity Manager, SiteMinder, Directory, you know, that became all in our purview of what's going on. And we're like, Broadcom, that's weird. So well, Broadcom's been buying up some crazy big companies recently, right? They also bought Symantec. I think it was like $11 billion. So Broadcom has been picking up crazy companies and massive money. They also tried to buy Qualcomm. So they tried to buy them. I think it was like $130 billion they tried to buy Qualcomm for. That got squashed. Actually, that got squashed by the Trump administration directly, saying that they did not want Broadcom to purchase Qualcomm because that would leave a vacuum open for China to exploit and take over the 5G market, which would be a national security concern. Also, they didn't like where the chips being manufactured so close to Huawei and because of all the Chinese influence there and what's going on. Even though Broadcom is a Singapore-based company, there was a ton of weirdness going on with regards to large government state bad actor things. And so that got squashed. But what happened was Broadcom said, okay, and they moved their address to Delaware to become a U.S. company. So we'll see what that does. But anyway, $69 billion for VMware. Why did they do it? Well, they want to get into the cloud space. They're going after Google, Amazon. I mean, the way I think this, like, people aren't like rushing to use VMware's cloud services, but I think they're kind of like Oracle, right? They're like, hey, we can do cloud. So I think that's what they're doing, is they're just buying these companies, and this is their piece to build them a cloud infrastructure so they can offer cloud services to people. So we're probably going to see a lot of that kind of spouting out soon. And lastly is Wired Magazine, one of my favorites ever since I was a kid. They put out the top hacks of 2023. So I'm just going to go down in order and let you know what they are, because some of them are ones that we talked about here. Number one was a hack on MoveIt. It is a file transfer protocol software used to transfer software between places. The thing is, it's used in a lot of governments. So this had a huge breach. So tons of government data, international, not just US, have been stolen crazy all around the world, all because of this software. Number two was Okta. Okta's customer breach was listed as number two. That's huge. That's definitely in the IDM space. Number three was a Chinese hacker group, Vault Typhoon, was when they stole Microsoft's cloud keys. That's massive. Number four was the MGM Resort hack, also kind of tied to Okta. So Okta's got two here in the top five. Number five was LastPass. Someone got into one of the security engineers' guys' credentials, got into the cloud, into the S3 buckets, and was able to download what they said were very sensitive database backups. So who knows what they got there. 23andMe had 14 million customers' data stolen. So that's a weird one to me, because one, they didn't have all this personal information and relationship information, so that's a little scary. But two, did they get DNA information? Because that's why I never sent my stuff out, is that, man, if that stuff gets in the wrong hands, who knows what you can do with that? Like, and I'm not even thinking now. Like, right now, there's probably like, what are you going to do, clone me? Like, I don't think so. 10 years from now, can you clone me? What about 20 years from now? I mean, like, who knows where technology is going to be? If you look at what we can do now, look at just AI in general, and like with video and voice and everything, you would never think we'd be able to do that 30 years ago. So you'd be like, oh, who cares if my picture is all over the place? Well, now maybe you're second guessing it. So that's going to be really interesting to see what happens there with those people's information. And last, what was an honorable mention, like we promised earlier, was T-Mobile. T-Mobile lost 37 million customer records and 900 customer records in a different attack. Now, the smaller number may not seem as significant, but the problem is with those 900 people, it was their social security numbers, their date of birth, and a ton of other PII. So they got everything on those people. Those people are screwed for life because their SSNs are out in the world. So hopefully you're not a T-Mobile customer. You didn't go to MGM. Maybe you didn't use Okta's support, and you definitely aren't using LastPass. And storing all of your passwords in the cloud is not a good idea. So that's it for this week in security and tech news. Everyone have a happy new year. It's the end of the year this year. You're probably not going to see it till the beginning of new year, but I'll see you around. Later.